So Paul wrote to Timothy and said, be ready. All right, you can read that in 2 Timothy 4:2. And so this is something I want you to remember here, because I'm going to mention it at the end of my sermon as well. Preparation anticipates opportunity. You guys have my flash drive or not? Okay. All right. Preparation anticipates opportunity. And so how many know we need to be prepared? We need to prepare. And when those opportunities come, we need to be ready. So we're going to look at a story here today about Peter and John. They were going about their daily business in Acts chapter 3. And something happened that kind of interrupted their day. And we're just going to refer to them as P and J. All right? P and J, peanut butter and jelly, right? We're headed for daily prayer meeting at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And they walked by a man over and over again because the Bible says, we're going to read it here in a minute, that he was there every day. And as they went into the temple on a regular basis to pray it, that they encountered this man. Maybe they noticed him before, and maybe they have not. Maybe they talked to him and wished him a great day. They may even have gave him money at some time or point as they were going into the temple. So it wasn't the first day that he was placed here at this gate, the gate beautiful. But this day was going to be a different day for all of them. And we know that on this day, things would change for this man. We know that it would change for P and J. We know it would change the lives of many other individuals as well. How many know that timing is important? And God is into timing. And so what I want you to notice as we get into this story, take notice that the miraculous event took place before the daily church prayer meeting, before they even went in for prayer. How many know that when we come out of a prayer meeting, hopefully we're stoked a little bit, right? We're a little bit pumped that we kind of feel like we're ready to take on what God has for us. But let me just say this kind of as a waiver here for the church. The purpose of the church is to reinforce what you are doing for yourself in your personal relationship with Christ. The church is not a substitute for what you need to be doing for yourself. The church, similar to the Bible, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the people of God may be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is our job as a church. We are not a substitute for your relationship with Jesus Christ. We are not a substitute for you hearing the word of God. We are not a substitute for your prayer life. These are things that you need to be doing on your own, and we're just coming alongside, encouraging you, helping you, training you, whatever it needs we need to do, maybe even rebuking you, so that you may be equipped to do what God has called you to do. So if Yoda was here speaking to you today, he would say, thoroughly equipped you are. Who's Yoda? Okay, if you're lost on that one, we'll move on. What started as an ordinary day ended up being an opportunity in which thousands were saved. So we're going to go look at the scripture here today, starting in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It reads, one day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day. Understand, it was there every day. He was sitting there. Where he was put every day. Okay. To beg from those going into the temple courts. I want you to look at, we're going to look at Acts 4:22. It says, for this man who was miraculously healed, so we know the end of the story, was over 40 years old. So what I want you to see here is this is a lifetime disability that this man had. From his birth, this guy has never walked. So get the scenario in your mind that sometimes as we're going through things and we don't understand why God's not answering prayer, how many know sometimes God has a timing? And sometimes his timing isn't our timing. And that's what gets us upset a little bit. But God has a timing. So for 40 years, this man could not walk. But we see out of this event, he began to walk. Back to Acts chapter 3, verse 3 through 8. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," thank you for the music today, "in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Verse 9. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus' name the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Verse 7 of chapter 4. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Father, we're just asking your blessing upon your word this morning, Father. Again, as we just take a glance at your word here today, Lord, you have given us the person of Jesus Christ, not only to be born again, not only to be saved here today, but you have enabled us to use his name, to wear his name. And so, Father, we're grateful, Lord, for that blessing in our life. And I pray, Father, that, again, we'll be challenged, Lord, to know that the name of Jesus is ours. Hallelujah. And in that name, there is power. And in that name, Lord, the impossible takes place. And so, Father, today we come to you and we ask today that you would challenge us again to realize what we have in the name of Jesus here this morning. And everybody said, all right. So four times we find in the name of Jesus mentioned in this story. And it's important because Jesus' name is synonymous with power. I don't know if you realize that it is the most powerful name in all creation, in heaven and earth. It is the most powerful name. And so we want to focus on that here today. It's the key to this story, and it is the focus of my sermon here this morning. So my first point is this morning. The Bible proclaims the power of Jesus' name. And I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 1. And if you've ever wondered why, what it is that you're supposed to be praying for the church, sometimes it pays to go to the Word of God and see how they prayed for the church. And so this is Paul's prayer, and I encourage you, if you're kind of running out of things how to pray for a church, pray prayers. That's a tongue twister. Pray Paul's prayer. All right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Notice it says power. What's the condition? For those who believe that his power, that this power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of, in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule, all authority, all power and dominion in every name that is invoked. Not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. For whose sake? For the church's sake, which is body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So this is the power that God has directed us through Jesus' name. It is a gift. He has given us his son, and Jesus said, I'm going to give you my name. And so this morning, we need to associate once again that Jesus' name is what? Power. Power. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2. He says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So here we have Jesus as an example here today, who did not, as he walked on the earth, take his godly authority, but he came as a man and walked under the authority of the Holy Spirit who was upon his life. So he is the example that we are to follow. If Jesus did everything he did as God, then there's no way that we could accomplish it. But Jesus came as a man, what? Anointed by the Holy Spirit, and did it as a man. So that gives us some hope here today to do the works that he said that we could do. He said we could do his works and what? Even greater works. And so there's no way we could do that if he came as God and did it. And so he humbled himself. He emptied himself, as some scriptures say. And he became a servant. He made himself nothing. And so, verse 9. Therefore, you know the expression, if you see therefore, you need to know why it's therefore, right? Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him, what? The name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In every tongue, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So as I said, the name of Jesus is synonymous with power. Jesus said in Matthew 28, what? All power and authority have been given to me. Hallelujah. So we have an all-powerful Jesus. And it is this person who said, I want you to pray and I want you to go in the power of my name. So we have a divine connection this morning. If you are a believer today and you have accepted Christ in your life, you have a divine connection to that name, to that person named Jesus Christ. That name is available for us to use. So I don't know if you've ever been around people that name drop to impress you, right? You get in a conversation and they'll mention someone popular, somebody famous, somebody this or that. Oh, I was with what's his name and, you know, did this, we did that, whatever. And, I mean, we could all do that and we can do that with a motivation of trying to impress people today. So I just want you to know we went on a cruise and we hung out with Stephen Curtis Chapman. You know, I mean, I even have a picture to prove it, all right? Maybe you're a financial person, and Dave Ramsey was on the ship with us, you know? I mean, we just hobnobbed with Dave Ramsey, you know? I went to a school where, you know, I hobnobbed with Kenneth Hagin. You know, I went to that school, and I went to another school. I went to a lot of schools. But, you know, we hobnobbed with Jimmy Swaggart. You know, these are names that you know. These are names that we could just drop and say, hey, you know, look at me. What? Woo! Ha! And these are names that are popular. They're at the top of their game. They're people that we know. They're people that we respect. They're people we would run to if we needed help in a certain area of our life, right? We had a guy in our when we were youth pastors, we worked for Karen's grandparents, and there was a guy in the church. It was a kind of a different guy. And he would stand up and give a testimony and say, you know, I got a letter from Ken today, or I got a letter from Bob, and we're kind of like, what? You know, who ever heard of R.W. Shambuck? I mean, who ever heard of it calling him Bob? You know, I mean, come on. Or, you know, Ken Copeland. You know, he would just come out and use their first name, these abbreviated, you know, names, and it was like, at first, you're kind of like, who in the world is he talking about, you know? But he was name-dropping, you know? It was like these guys were writing to him personally and having a conversation with him, you know? But today, as the people of God, you know, we can drop the name that is above every name. I don't know why we don't drop his name more than we do. We should. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that the demons shake. They shake when they hear the name of Jesus. And yet, how do we treat it? Folks, it's time we do some name dropping. Amen. The Bible proclaims that there is power in Jesus' name. Power than any name on this earth. Whew. There's power in that name. That name is synonymous with power. So, my second point this morning is the Bible proclaims the commission in Jesus' name. How many know we're commissioned, that we're called, that we have a purpose? Mark 16, you know this scripture. You can quote it. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Isn't that good news today? That we had to believe on the person of Jesus Christ to get saved. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven in which we can be saved, but Jesus Christ. Is that true? That's what it says. That's what the book says. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And look what it says. We believe to get saved, and then it says, and these signs will accompany those who what? Believe. All right. So if we're not seeing miracles, it might come down to the fact that we don't really believe that they're going to take place. Because he said, if you believe, these signs will accompany. So when we're talking about Jesus, it should also be accompanied with the miraculous. Because what? There's power in the name of Jesus. So, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. Okay? Whose name? Jesus. They will drive out. Who's they? The believers, those who believe. So those who believe will drive out demons. Those who believe will speak in new tongues. For those who that kind of fight this idea that you can be baptized without speaking in tongues, here Jesus kind of gives us right here in the Great Commission. It's for those who believe. So those who think they are, but they're not. Is that confusing? Confusing to me. But anyway, tongues is for those who believe. It's for those who believe. So there are many that do not believe that you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and don't have to speak in tongues. I know that's kind of a gray area there for some people, but hey, it says what? Those who believe will speak in tongues. Those who believe will pick up snakes with their hands. Don't tempt God on this one. And when they drink deadly poison, it will hurt them. It won't hurt them at all, right? It's talking about protection, okay? Divine protection, all right? All right, we know stories in the Bible, people were bit by snakes, they survived, right? How many know the church was persecuted and they said that they actually would try to poison the Christians? All right, so Jesus kind of forelaid this, all right, that we're protected. And then it says those who believe will what? Place their hands on sick people and they will get well. People who believe in my name, in the name of Jesus. Where does that leave us? Right? Are we seeing it? Is it? Do we believe it? I don't know. This is a good sermon. It's challenging. Because when Jesus sent his disciples out, he told them to do three things. What did he tell them? Preach in my name, heal in my name, and cast out demons in my name. Those are the three things. It wasn't like just go preach and get them saved. No, he said there's some other things that can go with that. In John chapter 14, and you can see here in that scripture, John 14, 13 and 14, John 15, 16, 23, 24, and 26. All right. All right, next slide. All right. He said over and over and over and over again, 6 to 7 times, he said, ask anything in my name. He said, I want you to use my name in prayer. Because it's kind of like we are praying in behalf of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is what? The amen to our prayer. All right? That's why we are praying in his name. Ask for anything. So we have been commissioned to preach, to pray, and to do miracles in his name. In the mighty name of Jesus. The name we should be dropping in our conversations with other people. Amen? All right, some of you are with me. Amen. Okay. So, as we go to the finish line here, we often see the name of Jesus being abused, misused, and underused. All right? What do I mean by this? Abused. We've all been around people. We heard the words. We hear the GDs, right? We hear the name Jesus Christ being used as profanity. Isn't that weird that there is no other name on earth used for profanity but Jesus Christ? Isn't that strange? That is weird. How about those thoughtless remarks like, oh my God, or thank God it's Friday, right? These are thoughtless remarks. They are what the Bible calls in the Ten Commandments, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. And there's a lot of vanity, a lot of vain being said in our world today. So in vain just basically means improperly using the name of God in any form. And how we have kind of just lowered the name of Jesus to just a curse word is amazing. And how we as believers sit around people and allow them to do that. When will we have the guts and say, you know, you swear, but please don't go there. You know, it's kind of takes it to a new level. I mean, we hear swearing all the time, but when you start hearing the word God being misused, man, it just kind of, I don't know about you, but it kind of jolts me. Because it takes it to a new level, and it kind of puts our God down on a lower level. So I kind of looked at this, I was thinking about this as I was putting this point together, and I kind of thought about the parable of the salt losing its saltiness. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we're the salt of the earth, of course. But if the salt loses its saltiness, what? It's good for nothing and it's thrown out what and put and trampled on by men. And so when the name of Jesus loses its power, what? It's trampled on by men. And we as a church have allowed it to happen. It is time to once again exalt the name of Jesus Christ. The name that is above every name. That's what we read in here. And so I want to encourage you. Don't let people put it underfoot, okay? All right? Let's put God and Jesus to that place where it's respected. Even if they're just do it out of respect for you. Amen? So people abuse it. They abuse the name of Jesus. They misuse the name of Jesus. You know, there are churches that are gathered right now that have abandoned biblical standards. That they're meeting and condoning certain practices that the Bible calls sinful. And they're doing it in the name of Jesus. That Jesus is a loving God. Jesus overlooks this stuff. I want to tell you today, Judgment Day is coming, folks. And we cannot justify sin. We cannot tack Jesus on the back of our prayers. I don't know if you've seen any of these things. They are far out, folks. And I just want to tell you right now, we need to guard against misusing the name of Jesus Christ. James talks about misusing prayer. How many know we can tack it on the end of our prayers and actually misuse the name of Jesus Christ? He says in chapter 1, he said that if we doubt when we're praying, what? We're like a wave on the sea going back and forth. Back. How many know that doesn't please the Lord? The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So even tacking on our prayer life here when we're doubting and we're not even sure what we're praying for, we're kind of misusing his name. Think about it. James says in chapter 4, he said, we ask for things and we have wrong motives. He said, because you're asking them because of your lust, because of a wrong motivation. And so sometimes in our prayer life, we're tacking on what we want, not what he wants. We're asking for wrong motives. He is not a genie. Right? He's not a genie. All right? John says that we're to pray what? For the will of God. Right? Ask anything according to the will of God. And what? You'll receive it. Right? So we need the guard. Okay? There's people, churches, misusing the name of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, underused. And how many know there's great ignorance in the Church of Jesus Christ? Right? I just want to tell you right here, when we grew up, we didn't know the rest of the story. We knew that Jesus was the Son of God. In the Apostles' Creed, we knew there was a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that was the extent of our knowledge. We never heard of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We never heard, as the Ephesians did in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, we didn't know there was a Holy Spirit that you could receive. We didn't know those things. And so, you know, we have churches today that are teaching against and dividing the church on some of these issues. So we underuse these things because of ignorance. We didn't know. But God in his wisdom kind of led us to people that did know and enlightened us. So sometimes because his name is underused, people don't have an assurance of their position in Jesus Christ. We never heard that we were the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, that we were bearers of his name, that we had a responsibility. We didn't know these things. And so we didn't know our position. We didn't know all the things that Christ had given us, the promises that he's given us as a church. We didn't know they were ours. We didn't know who we were in Jesus Christ. And so we often see the name of Jesus being abused, misused, and underused. The church needs an overhaul. We need a resurgence of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's kind of wrap up here. Peter and James were discovering for themselves what it meant to minister in Jesus' name without Jesus being present. You know, Jesus sent them out. They came back. They conferred with Jesus. He constructed them, sent them out again. You know, so we know that story. But he was ever present. But Jesus is no longer present in this story in Acts chapter 3. Jesus is gone. He's up in heaven. And they are now filled with the Holy Spirit. They were discovering for themselves. How many know we have to discover what we have in Jesus Christ? It's not an immediate download. Wouldn't it have been nice for us just to get a flash drive like we do here on a computer and just plug it in and whew, we know it. But the problem is we don't know it. It's step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, as the Old Testament says. We got to learn it. They were learning it. The Pentecostal experience was new to them. It was new. They were still filling their way out. I mean, this is shortly after the day of Pentecost. They didn't have it all down. They had to learn to live in the Spirit. They needed to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. They preached and taught under and witnessed under the unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit. They had to learn that. In Acts 2, even after the day of Pentecost, right after that, they performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. Things were going on. And so this was kind of different. Jesus wasn't there. Now they're having to do it by the Holy Spirit. They were on a learning curve. As you read at the beginning of the book of Acts, there was a lot of problems that surfaced in the church. And they were taken one day at a time. They were on a learning curve. They were learning church leadership the hard way. They were just thrown into it. Jesus didn't say, okay, this is step one, step two, step two. It wasn't there. It was being led by the Holy Spirit. So, if you'll come, all of us, we must learn. Learn what it is that we have in Jesus. And what we've been instructed to do. We have been commissioned to go in His name. And so as we walk out and we walk forward, as we grow in our faith, we need to learn to use Jesus' name. So, it's not all about learning, because I think there's enough learning that we already have. The problem is we got to use what we have. We've got to practice what we have. We're not the miracle worker. So when we lay hands on the sick, it's not us doing it. I think sometimes we kind of go to that place where we kind of step in there and think, because I'm doing the praying, because I'm laying hands on, they're going to be healed. He is still the healer. We are doing it in His name. We are His representative. We are His tool. And we need to keep that straight in our minds and our hearts. They had to walk through their daily process of learning how to use the name of Jesus appropriately. We need to be ready. Because you don't know what you're going to encounter the rest of this day, or who you're going to encounter, or when you get a phone call. You don't know what's coming. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. Let's go back to my slide. Preparation anticipates opportunity. It'll come up here sometime. Preparation anticipates opportunity. Why do we encourage you to be in the Word? Why are we encouraging you to pray? So that you're prepared. We don't know. We don't know, truthfully, when God's going to use us. We're called to what? Plant. Just be faithful. Give them the name of Jesus. Water that. Sometimes we have the privilege of being there when the miracle happens. We may be the one He chooses to use that day. But leading up to that, we're just kind of doing our part, being obedient. And whether we see the fruit of what we said and done, it's okay. We did our part. We were obedient. We were led by the Spirit. We felt like we needed to do it. We needed to write that letter. We needed to make that phone call. We needed to pray for that person at that moment. God has a timing. And we get upset because we're not seeing it on our time schedule. But that's okay. It's not our responsibility. It's His power. It's His name. The name of Jesus. They questioned them, Peter and John. By what power, by what name did you do this? Jesus. Jesus. Folks, we have the answer. We have the answer. It's Jesus. I know I didn't focus on the healing of the lame man. But today, we're in Peter and John's shoes. I want you to know it was the man that kind of stirred this thing up. He's the one who instigated this whole situation. He's the one that created an interruption in their day. They were probably talking, walking through the temple just kind of like that, ready to get prayer, to get in, mind was on prayer ministry, what was going to happen today, what they were going to pray about, and they were interrupted. Hey, got some money? And what did Peter say? He said, look at us. And he said the guy focused on them. Folks, it's time that we become that person. They say, hey, focus on me, because I have the answer. Silver and gold have we not. We don't have the power, but we know somebody who does. We're not the answer. He is. Hallelujah. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Are you ready? Every day we need to be ready. Every day. How often do we go places and people just start spilling their guts? Telling you their problems. You don't know them from Adam. You never met them. It's just a chance meeting in the grocery store, Walmart, right? They just... And what are they doing? They're getting your attention. They're interrupting your day. How many times have you heard somebody, la, 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 la? Telling you, it's like you never met the person and they're telling you every detail of their life. And you're like, God, help me. And God's saying, you help them. You pray for them. Because that's what they're doing. Like this lame man reaching out. Can you help me out with a few bucks? All they're asking is, can you give me some of your time? Can you give me some of your attention? I'm going through this and I have no idea where I'm going with it. But we have the answer. Father, we just come to you today. I pray, Father, that we would be a people that are ready. Lord, we want to be ready. Lord, we have some serious things going on in this body. And Lord, we want to be ready that when we lay hands on it, Lord, that something miraculous is going to happen. Because we believe in the name of Jesus. We believe in the name that's attached to the person of Jesus. And that person has all authority and power in heaven and on earth. It says, not every knee here on earth, but in the heavens will bow before that name. Every creature, every creation, every angel, every person will bow and declare Him Lord. And today, Lord, we want to be those person that are so confident that you're going to be the Lord over every situation we encounter. Be Lord. Lord, it's time for us as a church to start name dropping. The most powerful name in all creation, in all heaven, all earth. Lord, it's in that name. Lord, today we come to you, we confess, Lord, that sometimes we've probably have taken your name in vain. and just kind of throwing it out there, Lord, and not honoring that name, not out of worship, not because we respect you, but we have just said things off the cuff, Lord. We ask for forgiveness for that, Lord, that we honor the name. The Jews wouldn't even say the name of the Lord. Lord, I pray today that we have such respect that, Lord, that when we say that name and we hear that name, man, our hearts are exalted, Lord. Because you're worthy. Lord, if we have misused your name, Father, if we have come to the place where we have abused it, Lord, or we have underused it, we're asking today to forgive us, Lord. Because, Lord, our salvation is based on believing in that name. These signs shall follow those who believe in that name. And, Father, most of our Christian life is blah. And I believe, Lord, you want to kind of make it a little more exciting for us. So that when we drop the name of Jesus, when you give us those opportunities to witness and minister in your behalf, God, that things will begin to happen. The miraculous will begin to happen. Answers will come to prayer, Lord. Bodies will be touched, God. Lives will be changed. God, most of us are desiring something more in our hearts because, Lord, what we're experiencing now isn't enough. We've made it that way. You never intended it to be that way, but we've made it that way. Forgive us, Lord. Let us begin each day, Lord, saying, Lord, what is it you have for me? How can I share the name of Jesus today? How can I operate in the power of that name? If you don't know that name and you're not a believer today, there's always that opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Jesus died for our sins, yes. He was our substitute. We are heading for judgment without him, but he came in, intervened, went to the cross for us. The Bible says he bore his sins, our sins, upon the cross, that we might be saved. If you're here today, I just want to encourage you today. If you are, never did it, I encourage you today. Come up and speak to me today. And if you're here as a believer and you've just been kind of just gliding through, I'm encouraging you, don't glide through. Get a little bit serious. Make a commitment to him, saying, Lord, I'm sorry for making it the way it is, and press in. The Bible says if we draw close, what? To him, he will draw close to us. So you can have as much as Jesus you want. And if it's limited in your life, it's because we have limited him. Hallelujah. Lord, fill our cups, as the old hymn says. Fill our cups. We want to overflow. We want others to be beneficiaries of our relationship with you. Hallelujah. Lord, we want people to feel the presence of the Spirit on us. Peter walked down the road and the shadow touched people and they were healed. Could you imagine that? Hallelujah. Lord, let people see a difference in us. Help us to be the standard of our workplace and our school, of our relationships, our circumstances. Help us to be, because we bear the name of Jesus. We're called Christians. We bear your name, and we thank you. I pray a blessing over this body today, and Father, I just pray that, Lord, it is a Sabbath day, and it's a day we've heard your word, we fed on your word, we worshiped you, and Father, I pray that something said or done through this, or sung through this service today will just kind of lodge in our hearts and our spirits, that we will take it with us. I pray that it'll come back and just haunt us. If it's an area of your life, Lord, that you're wanting to work in, we pray that you'll haunt us, that you won't let us rest until we say yes. We love you, Jesus, And again, I pray your blessing upon each one. Give us the opportunity to name drop you this week and to experience the power of God flowing through our lives, saving people, healing people, ministering to people, delivering people, giving them a hope. We love you, Jesus. And we just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And everybody said, amen.